Horowitz has just come out with a groundbreaking book called Why I Can't Get Better, Solving the Mystery of Lyme and Chronic Disease. And, well, we're delighted to have you with us, Dr. Horowitz. Important problem, and we're discovering a great deal as we unfold this series. Let's start at the beginning. How did you get involved with Lyme?
Well, I'm initially from Bayside, Queens, which is about 2 hours south of where I am now, and I just moved to the Hudson Valley, New York, after finishing my residency in internal medicine. And what happened is I moved into one of the largest Lyme endemic areas in the United States, and I had absolutely no idea. So I thought I was going to be a country doc just treating hypertension and diabetes, and then walked into this area where so many people were getting sick with Lyme. And, 75% of the people would get better with a one-month course of antibiotics, but 25% would keep coming back telling me they felt ill. And I learned in medical school a long time ago, you get to the source of the problem. You know, you treat people the way you would want to be treated. So I started looking at answers, and, 26, 27 years later, I now have found a lot of answers for the people who are sick with Lyme.
Well, and we're going to want to talk to you about some of those answers, but we've been hearing in the series that Lyme has reached epidemic proportions. As someone who is in the trenches and treated 12,000 patients, that's a lot of people, what is your feeling about the problem now? Is it a major problem? Is the medical system's denial creating a second problem?
Well, I think it's a very, very big problem, and I'm not sure people realize how bad it is. Part of the problem is that Lyme is the great imitator. So a lot of times people are diagnosed with other diseases like chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, autoimmune diseases like MS. So part of the problem is the testing is not reliable. So you go to your doctor, they might think, oh, gee, that person could have Lyme, but they do a blood test, which is unreliable, and they end up being diagnosed with something else. So, you know, when the CDC came out with the new numbers several months ago, and they said that it was 10 times worse, and went from 30,000 to 300,000 a year, the truth is it's actually much worse than that, because if you look at the numbers, there was a study that was done in 2012 where 0.3% of the American population was diagnosed with Lyme, which is about a million people. And the way they got those numbers is they used this two-tiered testing system that misses 50% of the people. So when you figure out, you know, the true numbers, you're probably dealing with at least 1 to 2 million people a year. It may be more. And many of these people become disabled. So I don't think we're really prepared to handle the disability and how sick people are getting from this disease.
Talk a little bit more about the profound problems around misdiagnosis, because we are hearing some devastating stories in that regard.
You know, it's a real problem because Lyme is the great imitator, and right now the way the doctors have been taught is they're taught that you do this two-tiered blood test, first doing an ELISA test, and if the ELISA is negative, you don't go on and do the second test to confirm it, called a Western blot. The problem is that the scientific literature tells you the ELISA is very unreliable, and it misses about half the people. So, you know, the way we've learned, at least I've learned to do this, is that, first of all, Lyme is a multi-systemic illness. What that means is people don't just come in saying, I'm tired or I have joint aches. They usually will say things like, I have day sweats, I have night sweats, I have chills, I have air hunger and a cough. Well, if you've got those type of sweats, you may have been exposed to another tick-borne disease called Babesia. But they'll also tell you that, apart from this malarial organism, the symptoms come and go. They have good and bad days. Their joint pain, their muscle pain, their nerve pain, that tingling, numbness, burning, it moves around their body. So one day it's in one joint. A day or two later it's in another joint. They've got these good and bad days. If they happen to have an upper respiratory infection and take an antibiotic, they might feel much better. But then they stop it and they get much worse. Or, contrary-wise, they get worse with antibiotics, when you're killing off the bugs, called a Herxheimer reaction. Or women will get much worse around their menstrual cycle. So when you look at the picture, we have a questionnaire that we give to people, which is in my book, Why Can't I Get Better? And we found that if people score 46 or higher on the questionnaire, they have a very high chance, 2 standard deviations, that they are going to have Lyme disease. So it's at least a starting point. If you've got this multi-systemic illness, it's coming and going, your joint and muscle pain is moving around your body without a good reason, you're better or worse with antibiotics, hormonal swings, that's how you can kind of clinically tell. And then when you look at the Western blot, which is a better test, and especially through a lab like Igenix in California, that doesn't just use one strain of the lime, they use two. There are bands on the Western blot, and I call this lime bingo. If you've got any one of these five numbers on a Western blot, bingo, you've been exposed to Lyme disease. And those numbers are the 23, 31, 34, 39, and the 83-93 bands. Those are very specific proteins for Lyme. So you don't use the CDC criteria to make the diagnosis. That's for health departments to do that. If you use the Western blot with those bands and look at it as a multisystemic illness, ruling out other diseases, there is a way to tell if someone has this disease.
Now, we have heard time and again in our series that Lyme isn't really a big deal. You've got a 2 to 4 week treatment of antibiotics and it will be cured. What's your experience in that regard?
Well, you can cure Lyme disease if you get it early in about up to 75% of the people who take a drug like doxycycline or Ceftin. The problem is that if you're a patient who doesn't have an EM rash, this erythema migram rash, a lot of people don't have a rash, 50%, and therefore they're going to go on and get sick, and the doctors won't even know that they've got Lyme. So you can cure it early on, but many of these people go on to chronic Lyme disease, and the problem right now is that there are two standards of care. There's the Infectious Disease Society of America that says it's easy to diagnose and treat, and then there's ILADS, the International Lyme and Associated Disease Society, of which I was a founding member, and we basically say, based on the scientific literature and our vast experience as ILADS members, that no, the diagnosis is difficult using those blood tests. It's a clinical diagnosis, and people go on to chronic disease, but that the bugs do persist. And that's one of the big points right now. Does Lyme really persist in the body? Well, I find it does, and there's lots of scientific literature to show that it does. But it's also the co-infections. These ticks are containing multiple organisms. So when you get a tick bite, a lot of my patients who come to me, in fact, the vast majority, they don't just have Lyme. They have Ehrlichia, they have Anaplasma, Babesia, this malaria-like organism, Bartonella, cat scratch fever, Rocky Mountain disease. They've got a lot of other diseases that keep them sick, and not all the doctors look for these. So if people have multiple infections, they're much, much more difficult to treat.
Now, I just want to ask you to take a moment to run the gamut of things that can go wrong, the kinds of manifestations you have seen in people who many times are sort of called hypochondriacs or crazy. Could you just run that down for us? What's your experience in terms of the kinds of things you've seen that people might not quickly identify with Lyme?
Well, I mean, the first problem is that a lot of these patients, as I said, they get misdiagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia because they're tired, they can't sleep, they're depressed. So the problem is they've got these muscle and joint pains, they can't sleep, they go to the doctor, Lyme test is negative by ELISA, and they're told it's in their head. You know, you're depressed, you're anxious. Well, the problem is that Lyme can cause pretty much every psychiatric diagnosis that you would find in a DSM manual for a psychiatrist. So it's the great imitator. So we do see patients with MS, in fact, who have an autoimmune problem, but when you treat the Lyme and you treat their heavy metals and you treat their chlamydia or their vitamin D deficiency, these MS patients do get better, that it was actually the Lyme which was stimulating these autoimmune diseases. So, you know, you can have people who come in with an MS presentation or an ALS, Lou Gehrig's presentation, will present with chronic T fibro or depression, anxiety, OCD, even schizophrenia. I've had a handful of patients come in with a diagnosis of schizophrenia, and we got them off their schizophrenia medication like risperidone by giving them a drug like doxycycline, an antibiotic. So people need to know, if you have a multisystemic illness with those good and bad days with the joint pains migrating and it's coming and going, that's how you know you have Lyme, especially looking at the bands on the Western blot. It's very important to understand how Lyme clinically presents.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein, and we're speaking with Dr. Richard Horowitz. He is the author of Why Can't I Get Better? Solving the Mystery of Lyme and Chronic Disease.
And we're briefly interrupting Flashpoints right now, dear listeners, with host Dennis Bernstein in order to invite you to start or renew your membership during our winter membership drive. It's easy peasy. You just call us up toll free from anywhere in North America, 877-500-5266. That toll free number again is 877-500-KBOO, or you can always make a secure donation online at KBOO.FM. I want to thank Stephen in Salem for renewing his membership, and Joseph is a new member in Portland. That is fabulous. It would be great if we can match up one renewing person, like an elder sister, and then one new person coming on, like hand in hand, like a younger brother, something like that. Maybe it's a buddy system to increase our membership. We are asking you to get involved. A very modest goal for Flashpoints today is $200, and there are thousands of you listening right now. The real goal is 94K. That is our mission, and we will get that together as we move along. 877-500-5266. Dennis Bernstein has been doing quite a bit of coverage on the growing Lyme epidemic, and I guarantee you, you're not hearing that information on MSNBC, on Fox News. And Flashpoints is one of the very few syndicated programs we carry. They have done an awful lot of work. You're talking about the police killing of 13-year-old Andy Lopez. That's been going on. Drone warfare, the NSA's subversion of democracy, the aftermath of Fukushima, the politics of survival in Haiti, real people's democracy in Thailand. That's just a bit of the shopping list of all the things that Dennis Bernstein and Flashpoints host. But the real trick is that we're able to send this out to you as part of our diverse programming schedule. And we're able to do that because the lights are on, because the transmitter is functioning, because our board is operating, and because our doors are open and volunteers, our tireless volunteers are able to come in here every hour of every day and help bring you real radio made by real people with real voices. That's what we're asking you to support when you call 877-500-5266. We've got a lot of thank you gifts here, and our happy volunteers will walk you through the process. It's just going to take a minute out of this snowy day. Won't you do that online right now at kboo.fm, excuse me, or toll free from anywhere in North America, 877-500-KBOO.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein, and we're speaking with Dr. Richard Horowitz. He is the author of Why Can't I Get Better? Solving the Mystery of Lyme and Chronic Disease. He has been treating Lyme, has treated over 12,000 patients, and we're finding the more and more we look into this that there are many people sick. And I wanted to ask you about, there appears to be more women who are affected than men. There actually seems to be a 70% to 30% majority of women. Is this true, and why would that be so?
I mean, I do believe, I don't know the exact numbers in my practice, but I do believe that I do see more women than men. I mean, one of the reasons that this may be happening is that, first of all, Lyme can cause an autoimmune type reaction. When the infectious disease doctors say that post-treatment Lyme is autoimmune, they're actually partially correct. There are autoimmune manifestations, but these autoimmune diseases are actually more common in women, and I don't think people remember that from their basic medicine. So, for example, if you look at an autoimmune disease like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, they found that women get more of these diseases than men, and that the hormone levels for women, the estrogen, can basically accelerate the autoimmune process, and androgens like DHEA, testosterone, can inhibit the development of these autoimmune problems. So, for example, lupus gets worse in pregnancy, and it's not even just from estrogen. There's other hormones like prolactin, which also have been shown to have autoimmune manifestations. So I think part of the problem has to do with the hormones. And we do see women, for example, around their menstrual cycle. This is a regular problem that women have, that right before, during, or after their menstrual cycle, they will say, all of their symptoms starts to come out. They're much more tired. They get headaches, light sensitivity, sound sensitivity. They're dizzy. They have bad memory, concentration problems, chest pain, shortness of breath, palpitations. Their sweats get worse. The muscle and joint pain is worse. The nerve pain, tingling numbness. Everything gets worse when the estrogen starts to drop off. And this is a regular manifestation you hear from women. So I think it's the hormonal issues of the way men and women differ hormonally is probably the reason the manifestations are so much worse in women.
All right. Now, in terms of the research and the medical establishment, certainly I think you'd agree that there's not nearly enough money going into research for Lyme. It doesn't compare to some of the other investigations of other illnesses. Do you think this is a problem, and why?
You know, it is a big problem, and I can't really explain why they're ignoring how bad this epidemic is. The only thing that I can think of is at this point is that the federal government and the CDC basically has taken sides in a debate at this point, and they basically agreed with the IDSA to a certain extent that this disease can sometimes be easily diagnosed and cured. But that's only true with early Lyme disease. In fact, on their website, the CDC has repeatedly said that their criteria for diagnosing this should only be used by health departments to screen large populations epidemiologically. So, you know, if you look at the IDSA guidelines, that it's easy to diagnose and treat, you might just think, well, gee, this is not a really big deal. You can just give a short course of antibiotics and people are going to get better. But if you look at those double-blind studies that have been done, even by the infectious disease doctors, you'll see that both sides agree that Lyme patients with chronic Lyme are as sick as people with chronic congestive heart failure. These people are extremely ill. They become disabled. So I think the problem is they just haven't recognized at this point how fast the epidemic is spreading. They've just basically recently said, gee, it went from 30 to 300,000. I don't think they realize it's really in the millions and that many people are being misdiagnosed with other diseases because of the unreliability of the blood tests. And they're also not realizing that the studies that have been done by these infectious disease doctors only dealt with Lyme disease. What I'm seeing in my office is the patients who come to see me, and I call this Lyme MSIDS, multiple systemic infectious disease syndrome. This means that these people have up to 16 potential overlapping medical problems contributing to their persistent symptoms. So they get Lyme.